Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Geezer Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom.
With Jeff and Tom.
Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hard Rock and Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rock and Sports. Sports with Jeff and Tom. It's Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Hi, this is Jeff Tate, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on Hard Rockin' Sports.
I can say right now, I can say, this is Joe Satriani. You are listening to Hard Rockin' Sports Radio with Tommy and Jeff. Go Jets!
Hi out there, this is Andy Parker from UFO, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Tommy and Jeff.
Hey, this is Ken Aronoff. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hi, this is Mark Brenner, and you're listening to Jeff and Tom on the Hard Rock and Sports Radio Show.
Hey, rock fans, Mark Gutscott from Trickster, hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom, right here on Hard Rock and Sports. You listen, crank it up.
Hey, sports fans, this is Punky Meadows from Angel, and my new solo album, Punky Meadows Fallen Angel. You're listening to Hard Rock Sports Radio Show with Tommy and Jeff.
There you go.
Don't miss it.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell. Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
That is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to April the 7th in the year of our Lord 2022 and a Thursday night show extravaganza. That's right. We open the show with a little song called The Storm from tonight's guest. And a great band, I believe, out of Las Vegas called the Playhouse. And we'll have bass player Danny Beaudry hanging with us for a little while tonight with Jeff and myself. So I hope you guys will buckle up, buttercup. We got 3 hours, 2 hours and change of sports and music. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I got a couple of social media wokeness stuff. Beloved. Snack. It's baseball season, right? We all know baseball's opened up. That's right. Here you go. The Mets, Yankees. Mets start up tonight. Yankees postponed until tomorrow. Baseball's underway. First home run today in Chicago at the Cubs. And this tradition is a take me out to the ball game. Well, you know the song. Well, a famous snack mentioned in that thing has a snack mentioned in that song has a surprise, so to speak, in it. And I will talk to Jeff about a certain snack that has been around a very long time, synonymous with baseball and apple pie and Chevrolet. Has a change, and we'll get to that. We'll talk about the Eagles, Saints trade. Tiger Woods competes at the Masters. How do you do? We'll tell you about it. We'll talk about the Dolphins trading within their own division. Kaepernick works out with a college team. We got DK Metcalf maybe to the Jets. That's the USFL, the debut next week. The Yankees open tomorrow. The Mets open tonight. Interesting. We'll talk about the draft coming up. We got a couple announcements about the Sunday Audible. Cliff Burton's got a museum. Michael Schenker says a certain guitar player from the 80s stole his look. We'll talk about that. Stephon Diggs gets a new contract. Mike Mularkey blurts out some malarkey. Deshaun Watson's in hot water. Sam Darnold, Albert Pujols, baseball's back, Tiger's back, and a lot more than that coming up here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Oh, and don't forget about our great interview with Danny Beaudry, the bass player from Playhouse. Looking forward to all of that. So, guys, stick around, and let's get the show kicked off, but I can't do that. I don't know. It did, Dougie, but that's all I had. Nobody holds it against you. It's still a great tune, and I hope you guys have had a great week. And let's get the show kicked off. And the only way I can do that is by bringing on my co-host, my best bud, and the man who's the sexiest guy on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Talwinski. What's up, Hefe?
And also the sickest guy on this side of the screen.
Oh, a little under the weather tonight?
Yeah, I think it's fatal.
Do you have COVID? Do I need to have you tested for COVID?
No, I don't have COVID. just a regular cold, but, you know, nowadays it could be fatal.
That's true. Well, listen, we'll run it as long as you feel up to it. If you feel like bailing, we will bail.
I feel like bailing.
All right, well, then we'll cancel the show right here. No problem, bro. Hefe, let's start off the show the way we do every week, Jeff. How was your week?
Well, other than getting sick, it was all right. But
okay.
Yesterday started feeling a little... A little nasty.
Well,
today I left work early. And
oh, okay. You okay? So you did wind up going into work today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had something to do. I kind of had to go in.
Gotcha. I know that. I know that feeling. I do have some good news for you, if you would like to see it.
Sure.
Okay. You could look and see our latest ratings this week, and you'll notice a very big jump again from our friends at Israel.
Oh, wow.
So, you can't see that, right? I have to share that.
No, I can't see it right now. No,
hold on. I will share that.
All I see is you backing up out of the way for something that's never popping up.
Let's see if I can get that on the screen.
Room and
there it is. There it is. Let's see. Two of us on the screen and that. How's that?
You got to read it. I can't really see, but it looks like some big numbers there.
How's that? Getting bigger there.
Wow, 8.36. Canada, 16.42.
Yes, we are skyrocketing up in Canada and in Israel. We're still hanging in there. And, of course, we're around the world, people are listening, as we learned a few weeks ago. Look, even in Ukraine, Jeff, bombs are bursting. People are getting killed. Putin's up. And sure enough, Ukraine's still listening.
I hope that's not our fans laying in the street all decimated with bomb dust on them and shit.
I hope not. But I would, like I said, a couple weeks ago, we had a gentleman on the show with us from Liberia. Wherever Liberia is, I think it's over
in
here.
Africa.
Yeah, it's somewhere over here. I don't know exactly where Liberia is, but somebody in Liberia is listening to us. So
people that live in Liberia couldn't find it on their map, so don't worry about it.
Well, Jeff, you're a little under the weather. We got some people listening. I see a lot of people listening from the RFL family, so... I'm sure they'll be here supporting not only the Hard Rock and Sports Show, but Playhouse. We got Doug, the bass player from Playhouse, popping up at about 7:30 to talk. We won't have my dad tonight. He's a little busy, so we'll talk. But, you know, Jeff, I want to start the show off with you know, baseball. It's the opening day around the league. I think there were 7 games today. The Yankees were not one. They have pushed back till tomorrow, opening day. I know you don't get excited for baseball anymore, maybe as a kid you did, but there is a certain thing on a beautiful April day when people can go out to the stadiums and enjoy a great baseball game.
The only problem is just there has not been a beautiful April day yet.
That's very true, very true. Now, when Jeff, in the few times in your life that you have gone to a baseball game, mm-hmm. Let me see something here. Hold on. I just got to move something.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, I want to just share everybody what the open day, I think, in Chicago looked like. I have a little trouble with my switch screens today, but let's stop sharing that. Let's bring over – I want to share a pic. It seemed like it was beautiful in Chicago, Jeff. And I got to get –
It's going to get nice later on in the week, but
mm-hmm. –
Next couple days, it's going to be again a little warmer. I don't know if the sun's ever coming out again.
Yeah, it's not supposed to until I think the weekend. Let's see. So this is what it looked like in Chicago today. I believe this is Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
Looks like...
I don't know now. It said Chicago on the thing, but yeah, it does look like the Cubs uniforms. I think so, yeah. I think that's the Cubs uniform. So, again, this is what baseball looked like. Beautiful thing out there. Beautiful flag out there. And all the guys lined up. Everybody. I don't see anybody kneeling, Jeff. I see everybody standing and hats over the hearts. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But, Jeff, there is a bad thing or a strange thing, I should say. And, you know, you know the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Jeff?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to make you sing it because that would be tough on the audience.
No, I'm just going to go home if I have to sing it.
Okay. So, but do you know part of the words? There's a certain snack mentioned in the in the lyrics of this song. Do you know the snack I'm talking about?
Yes, Cracker Jack.
Well, Cracker Jack has now fallen prey to the woke mob, and they've come up now with Cracker Jill. And this is a legitimate, there's five different box covers, and these are all the ladies that adorn the boxes. And Cracker Jack was deemed to be too anti-woman, and they've now come up with not only Cracker Jack, but Cracker Jill.
I think the Cracker Jill is a limited run thing just to acknowledge the women in sports.
It could be
and
there for...
It's supposed to go back to Cracker Jack.
Well, Jeff...
At least that's the way that I interpret it.
I do not know that for a fact. I did not look that up. I don't care. The simple fact that we need to have a Cracker Jill is pathetic. And it's a victim. We are victims of the woke mob.
I hear you, but...
Hey, Robert, how are you, buddy? How you doing?
This is the world we live in nowadays and how it happens.
Yeah. So anyway, by the way, I apologize. It is Danny Williams, not the other Danny. I apologize. Danny Williams, the bass player, will be jumping on with us tonight from Playhouse. Anyway, so that's one thing that annoyed the crap out of me today, Jeff. But it is baseball season. We are in the midst of still football season, for us. I'm concerned. The draft is coming up in a couple weeks. There's a lot of talk out there. Stephon Diggs gets a big contract. So there's still a lot going on in the football world. We got some Tiger Woods played his first round of golf in the year after nearly killing himself in his car. What's up, Lenny? So lots to talk about there. Cliff Burton's got a museum coming out. I don't know if you're aware of that. Will you be trekking to the Cliff Burton Museum?
No,
it's not on the Jeff itinerary. Coach K coached his last game at Duke, a loss to North Carolina, who lost eventually Monday night to Kansas. A couple of blue bloods playing with a big one of the biggest comebacks ever. Yeah, Frankie. Of course, it's the LGBTQ stuff, but whatever. You know what? What can we tell you? Everybody tweets their own. But do we really have to mess with Cracker Jack? By the way, Cracker Jack is one of the worst snacks of all time, Jeff. It's not a good snack.
Agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah, if you want to lose your fillings, rot your teeth, go get a box of Cracker Jacks. I wonder what this though. Does Cracker Jills come with nuts though?
it's on the side. on the side.
Just want to ask that question, Jeff. Does Cracker Jills come with nuts? That's all. I don't know.
It is unbelievable. I remember being a kid and I remember eating it once.
Yes.
And I was like, this. I don't want to eat this. This is nasty.
It is. It is not the greatest snack in the whole world. I don't know anybody that I have ever met who said, when I go to the game today, I got to get myself a box of.
Could I answer Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt. We are doing a pre-draft show. Cowboy fans not allowed. Sorry.
Dude, Matt, I've invited you 10 times. You're welcome anytime you want to be on. We are doing a draft pre-draft show on I'll announce it now, April 23rd, Saturday morning. For the next few weeks, we will be doing some breakdowns of the divisions, and we'll talk about it, but we're going to actually do a pre-draft show, talk about free agency, more the movements, and the draft itself on April 23rd. It's a Saturday morning. The Sunday Audible show will be handling it. So we'll be all over that, guys. So, yes, the USFL is the 16th, so that's coming up quick.
You don't hear much about the USFL at all.
And, yeah, meanwhile, it's going to be on Fox. It's going to be all over the place. You're going to be able to see it. They've gone back to the old teams with the old uniforms. So let me talk. I got some Met fans on the screen. Are you guys excited? I mean, what's the thoughts of Cano starting at second tonight? Dom Smith's on the bench. Seems to be a big thing on talk radio today. Tyler McGill's got the ball on the hill. Met fans, you guys excited about tonight's game? I know I will be trying to get it on the screen at some point. If they're actually putting it on there, I will.
Kind of feel bad for Met fans. Isn't like half their staff go down with injury?
DeGrom's out for a couple of months. I see the tarp is on the field, so it doesn't look like we got baseball anytime soon. But and the Easter opening day is Saturday. Wow, good for you, Lenny. I will try to make it down there this year to catch some games. But DeGrom's out for a couple of months. But I think Scherzer, I don't know if he's making his start tomorrow. I did not see today if he's got the hammy healthy enough to start on Thursday, on Friday. So we'll have to check that out.
Let me ask you something. Say you wanted to take your kid to the baseball game, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With the price of them, what is the alternative to taking your kid? You know, say you got like two boys and they want to go, and just the money that it would cost. Like, what is the alternative if Junior wants to go to a game and you know, tickets? There's no discriminating.
SNY, TV. Jeff, you can get some seats, you know, upper levels that are reasonable. But it's, you know, you're still going to spend $50 or better to park. You're still going to spend.
If the kid falls out of the seat, that's it. You might as well fall down the side of a mountain.
Yeah, you get a couple of couple of hot dogs and a couple of sodas. You're spending $60-$80. So, you know, if you go to a game, you and one person, whether it's your kid or your friend, you know, you're still probably looking at a couple hundred, $200 to $300 to do
I'm
it.
Sure.
And that's not counting tolls and gas and all that crap, but. But the stadium looks pretty empty for almost time to start, so we'll see how that goes. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. So yeah, you Mets fans, are you pumped up for tonight? What do you think? And Matt, if you want to be a part of the pre-draft show, we always love to have you to talk football with us. I think he did, Jeff. No.
No. After the fact, before.
Oh, okay. So again, guys, make sure you stick around. We got a lot to get to tonight. We're going to just kind of jump around a little bit. Jeff, I think we can announce the Sunday Audible, a couple things, right? We did one already with the pre-draft show. Should we mention the other one?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So the Sunday Audible, guys, is going to be a big return. We're plotting some big things. We got a website. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Well, the one big thing for us is usually Jeff and I, maybe sometimes we've had some other guests on. My dad's popped in. Mike Passamonte used to jump in with us. But the Hard Rock and Sports Show usually does our usual NFL draft show. We'll be on the air doing our, we watch it and we'll comment on the picks. We usually stick around for part of the first round. Well, this year, guys, we're going to be doing that along with our good friend John Marhefka. And we'll be bringing the Sunday Audible to you on a special night, Thursday or April 28th, when the Sunday Audible does its first ever draft night show. So make sure you guys are here. Put it up on your TV if you want, but make sure you got us tuned in for our breaking analysis and unique comments. So we'll see how that goes, but stay tuned for more on that. Again, remember, in a few minutes we're going to have Danny Williams, the bass player for Playhouse, will be joining Jeff and I. So Jeff, I'm sure we'll have some great questions about his gear and what he plays and all that good shit. So we're looking forward to that. Jeff, do you follow golf at all? What did you think of Tiger Woods coming back after almost being dead a year ago?
I don't follow golf, but I think it's pretty incredible of the way he came back and he's able to play. I don't know what he did. I didn't look at it yet.
First round was a one under par.
Well, not bad for somebody that's been laid up for a while, that hasn't been played competitive in a while. But
and they nearly died.
He'll shake the rust off real quick.
Yeah.
I'm
looking for something massive. Yeah, no, so great for, I'm not a Tiger Woods fan. In fact, I root against Tiger Woods. I got to be honest with you. Never been a fan of the guy, but it's pretty incredible. He's in the, when I left the car, he was still in the top 10. There were still some guys playing, but he was in the top 10. For his round. So congrats to Tiger Woods for a great comeback. I guess it's good for golf. It's good for sports. Well, it's kind of like Tom Brady. Whether you hate him or you love him, you're going to pay attention a little bit because he's out there. So good for everybody. Let's see. I got to take a look at something here. What did I miss today? Anyway, so that's it. Let's see, Coach K. I know you're not a college basketball fan, Jeff, so I'll get some of these in early.
Did they have the championship? Yeah, I mean,
the championship was Monday night. This past Monday night, last Saturday was the Final Four. Kansas beat to Villanova, and then Duke lost to North Carolina in a very good basketball game. I fell asleep little bit toward the end, but Monday night, Kansas faced North Carolina. Was down 16 points at the half, And they managed Kansas managed the biggest comeback in the NCAA history, and came back and beat North Carolina. So congratulations to those guys. That was a good game. It's a tough minute. They start that game, Jeff, at 9:20 on the East Coast. I mean, that's just ridiculously late. You know,
it's unfortunately it is what it is. They want to make sure that everybody gets a piece. They want to make sure that everybody has it on at one time or another during prime time.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. For the people that really want to watch it and are into it, especially if you're on the East Coast, it could be worse. Could have been down the West Coast.
That's true.
Well, actually, no, it wouldn't have been on the West Coast, right?
Well, no, they play the games usually on the East Coast, but the time is late. Usually the games are played in Indianapolis. I think this year was in New Orleans. It is what it is. And I didn't get to see any of the game Monday night because it was just starting at 9:20 and I was half asleep to begin with. So, So anyway, I did watch the game Saturday. I'm a big Duke guy, and Coach K goes out with the loss. But, another Final Four, another trip there, and, not for a couple of a big shot at the end. They would have possibly had a chance to play for the championship. So, congrats to Coach K and his.
He's retired, right?
Just that was his last game, officially. Yep. That was his last game. But guys had 1,200 wins. I think 99 or 100 wins in the tournament. So congrats to Coach K. I mean, that's just a hell of a career and a good job by him. So. Thanks for everybody sticking in, tuning around tonight. We got a lot to get to. Mets, I think, are almost an 8 o'clock start. First pitch scheduled at 8:20, so a little more delayed, but stick around. There'll be some baseball on the field tonight. It's always good to get that baseball feeling. It's, I just don't know, Jeff, why don't they start these play these games? April games should either be on the West Coast or in a dome stadium. They should not be playing in the Northeast at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night in April. Just doesn't make any sense.
I was thinking about that because today is actually my wife's birthday. My wife's son's birthday.
I was going to say, your wife's birthday was a couple weeks ago.
She just had a birthday last week.
Yeah,
she has one every couple weeks, I guess.
Oh, good for her.
This one is her son's birthday.
Okay.
And I got to say, I remember in the past, her son's birthday, it would be 75 degrees out sometimes.
Yeah.
Wearing shorts and it was warm out and the sun was out. Now it's like it just can't get any nastier. It just doesn't seem to be warming up.
Yeah.
And I mean, today it wasn't cold, but with the rain and the wind, it was nasty.
Nasty. Yeah, it was. I was walking around in that, and, it's supposed to be, I think, in the 70s coming this weekend. So who knows? Maybe we'll get some nice weather out, but it's baseball season. And listen, we'll real quick on the two teams while we wait for Doug to jump up. People have already put the Mets ahead of the Yankees because they spent this money and they made all these big moves. And I think the Mets did a nice job this offseason. I don't think they addressed everything, but, you got Scherzer. You thought you had DeGrom. You did a lot to change the trajectory of your team. But let's not forget the Yankees make the playoffs every year. The Yankees are going to win 90-something games this year. The Mets will be lucky to win 90 games this year. DeGrom's out. Let's not put the Mets at the top of the food chain at this point.
First of all, it's April, and the Mets always win the World Series in April.
I keep saying Doug because I keep seeing Doug's name on the screen. It's Danny Williams. Sorry, I got it. I'll get it right. I promise. Yeah, Jeff.
Big Danny Brusco.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. Yeah, Jeff.
But anyway, the Mets will seem to win the World Series every April.
Yes, and that's always been the case, yes.
So they should start off 10-1 or, 9-2 or something of that nature, and then they just crash and burn and come back to life. So that's what we're expecting as every other year. So.
Yes, and the Mets – and hey, Carrie, thanks for joining us. I appreciate the a lot of people with us tonight, Jeff. A lot of people listening to you and I.
Yes.
But, listen.
For the guests. See how many of them stick around after the guests.
Listen, whatever.
You know what happened to their house. Be like, you just can't go nowhere. Now you're stuck here.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom right here every Thursday night. We winging it tonight a little bit. We're having some fun. But, yeah, I think the Yankees, listen, the rotation's a little suspect. We got to hope for a big year out of Gerrit Cole. We need Jordan Montgomery and Jameson Taillon to pitch to at least what they did last year, if not better. Nestor Cortez and his mustache need to have a big season for us. And, of course, we'll need somebody in the five spot. We'll see who that's going to be.
Well, it's like you said, the Yankees, you know, they'll do nothing all summer long and then end up getting hot after the All-Star break.
Yes.
Win fucking 35 or 37 going into the final stretch, get into the playoffs, and then fucking revert back to a last-place team anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much the script from last year, Jeff. So I expect it to be, you know, the division's much tougher this year. The Mets have a tough division, but the Mets are a better team. I just don't see the Mets making that jump today. I think they still have some holes. If Cano's your starting second baseman, there's an issue there because he's a terrible second baseman at this point in his career, and we'll see how he hits. You know, we'll see.
Frank, just for the record, I hate baseball, period. If baseball was to fold up and never play again after this weekend, I couldn't care less.
Well, I mean, that's a national pastime here, Jeff. Come on now.
I can't give a fuck less about baseball, bro.
Boy.
I think the Yankees are an overrated team myself because when was the last time they won a World Series?
2009.
And every year they're supposed to get in there and win and be involved. And every year they end up losing the wild card round if they even make the playoffs.
No, they make the playoffs every year. They either lose in the wild card game or first round or so. And, 2017 was their best opportunity, and it was, you know, some people will say stolen by the Astros. I don't say stolen. You have a chance to win that game. I don't care what the Astros were doing.
I think that out of all of the teams in New York that wear blue,
oh boy,
the Yankees are probably the best team amongst them.
Here we go.
I don't count the Mets as wearing blue.
You don't?
Right? You know, they wear orange, white, and blue.
You don't count
different
that.
Orange and white are their predominant colors.
It's okay. Thank you, Art.
And I hear you talking. How is she?
Welcome to the secretary. She's doing a little better. She's got to do some follow-ups, so thank you. And that was stolen. I agree, Frankie. You know, listen. But, they're combating a lot of that now, Jeff. So, some teams, I don't know if everybody's doing it, but they actually have a device now that the catcher wears on his wrist that he can press a couple buttons and send the pitch to the pitcher. And along with, I think, the second baseman, shortstop, and someone else will know what the pitch is that's coming. There'll be no more, deuce for a curve, one for the fastball, three. None of that's gone. It actually has a device on the wrist. And if somebody says, well, that'll be fine until somebody hacks into the wristband and that starts stealing the sign.
Yeah. Wow. Or they only beam it out there in English and half the team is from fucking Latin America and doesn't understand those English commands.
Yeah, I don't know how to handle that one, but it's very interesting. But like the Broncos, Frankie's on a one-track mind with the Broncos this year. You got Russell Wilson. And that's it. Now he's all set. So,
interesting on the NFL Network today.
Yeah.
On the website, there was what would happen if they redid the 2012 draft.
You know, I heard somebody talking about that before, and I didn't know anything about it. But they said that the 2012 draft has severely impact right now, correct?
That's not what I read.
Okay.
I didn't read that. But it was last night I told you it was another draft.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what it was.
A couple years ago that would have impacted it. But it was interesting, like they said, Russell Wilson. I mean, of course, this is knowing what the players would be doing right now, what they would have done.
Right.
You know, they didn't just go back and, just rearrange different players for whatever. Like so-and-so would have needed a left tackle in 2 years, and they would have said, all right, take the left tackle this year. Because you could have shifted them over and bring this one over here, and it would have worked. A whole bunch of stuff. Once again, somebody had a lot of time on their hands. A lot of time.
Speaking of a lot of time, we got a lot of time now to spend with Danny, the bass player from.
Listen, I got to change my shirt. Keep going.
Go ahead. No problem. Well, guys, we open the show with a song called "The Storm" by our next guest and his band. They, of course, are Playhouse, and they are with the RFO Records label. And their new single drops tomorrow, I believe, 4/8. Dancing at funerals, which I've never done before, so I'll have to explain to me how and why you would go to somebody's funeral and dance. Although there's a few people that I know I'd like to dance on their casket at a funeral. So we'll see. We'll see what Danny has to say about that. And they have some tour dates coming up. I'm having a hard time reading it because it's very small on my screen. But we'll get them out there to you, and we'll let Danny give it out. And, of course, the video for their song, The Storm, dropped 2 weeks ago. I think it's had over 900 views already. So I hope you guys will hang in there and hang out while we talk to our new good friend, Danny. And Danny's got to tell me, because I see he's got Beaudry on the bottom of his screen. He tells me Williams. Danny, let's end the controversy. What is your last name? Because Doug is friggin' confused the shit out of me.
It's let's go with Williams.
Okay. Well, so that, in case the police are watching, it's Danny Williams on the screen right now, just in case. Danny, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're kidding me. Thank you. Appreciate it. Listen, I got some sneak peeks at the music and videos and all that good shit. And your band's great. I'm excited. You guys are a Vegas band. You guys have been at this, a bunch of high school friends, since 87. Now, I got to tell you, the gray beard and the year kind of gets me a little nervous. Danny, you're not the young man we once used to be.
No, we're not spring chickens, that's for sure.
So how did the band get together? Now, Jeff and I are friends. That's Jeff. Jeff's another bass player. I hope you guys will talk a little system. But Jeff and I go back 40 years together. We've played in bands throughout our life, in and out. So I know how you feel, but tell us a little bit about Playhouse, how you guys got together, and how you've managed. Bands will stay together for 2 weeks. You guys have managed to stay together almost 40 years.
Yeah, well, we weren't together for 40 years.
Oh,
we took
okay.
A very long cigarette break. You know,
okay.
And about 2016.
Okay.
Is when we started getting back together, so to speak, you know, started writing some songs and went into the studio, cut a few tracks. Our singer at the time, Pete, was still living in South Africa. And then he decided to move back here. And since then, we've been chugging along, writing more songs. And we released the Rock and Roll Circus back in 2018, and we, supported that, and played some shows, all that good stuff. Then we started writing for the follow up. We wanted to do another album and more of a proper album. Whereas the Rock and Roll Circus was a bit of a compilation of songs we wrote the first 2 years we got back together. And, after recording a bunch of songs, releasing them as singles, we realized we had enough for a CD, and then we released it as an album.
Okay, and then now you guys are ready to put out Dancing at Funerals. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us, I've said to Jeff on occasion that I want to dance at his funeral, but I'm hoping that's not for a very long time.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm the best to explain that one.
Oh, boy.
The singer's got Pete writes down most of the lyrics, 95-98% of them.
Okay.
But, in some cultures, that's what they do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, at some cultures, funerals are a joyous occasion because they've gone on to their final place and they're, hey, Sam. I can understand the theory behind it. And
celebration of life.
There you go.
The album itself is a lot about life. There's a lot of songs that are very, personal and about experiences and so forth. And there's also a lot of, about of our, mortality, if you will, or, that type of thing. And what you leave behind when you're gone,
How are you, Sam?
Yeah, you guys have, you guys quite the resume. I mean, if I'm reading it right, after all the... you guys have done some openings for Extreme, The Killer Dwarfs, Harum Scarum, I also want to see Dead Daisies, LA Guns. So you guys are, you know, you guys have, you know, walked the stages with some big names, and yeah. So I mean, how does that feel when you guys are, I don't know that feeling. You know, Jeff and I played some gigs together, and Jeff's played a lot of big gigs. But there's something to be said when you know, one minute you're buying an album from a band, and the next minute you're opening for them, or you're sharing a stage with them at a gig. What's that like?
What?
Is it anything extra special?
It's humbling.
Okay.
It's exciting.
Okay.
Depending on the band, I can't say I'm necessarily a big fan of all of them, right?
No, of course not.
But definitely they're, you know, you respect them. You respect what they've accomplished and everything else. And it's just an opportunity to play in front of different people. And at the same time, it kind of validates what you're doing. That, you know, they pick you or the promoter picked you. So in that sense, it's, you know, it's a good feeling, definitely.
I get it. I got to always ask the question. So some of them were good to you, but what's the band that was douchiest? What's the band that kind of just snubbed their nose, turned their nose up at you guys? Come on, it's got to be a good backstage story. So-and-so was a real dick. You know, who's the band you go, I'd like to punch that guy in his face?
Honestly?
Come
no.
on. Jeff, it's a cop-out, Jeff. It's a cop-out, Jeff.
Hey, John, what's up?
Extreme, we didn't talk to. When we opened for them,
Peter Cat says it's extreme. Peter Cat says extreme. God, see?
There you go.
See?
Besides that, they were all very cool. Helix was very cool. Brian Vollmer. The guys from the Dead Daisies were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Cherry. They're all very cool.
Okay.
You played with Buck Cherry?
Yeah, we opened for them here in Montreal.
How lit is Buck Cherry at all times?
Oh.
That lit, huh?
Well, they calm down, but they're excellent, man. They're really tight. They deliver. They put on a great show. They sound really good. So, yeah. It was a lot of fun opening for them.
That's Danny Williams. He's the bass player for Playhouse. We opened a show with their one of their singles, The Storm. Be on the lookout for their next single. I think it's also... Dances at Funerals, and their new album, Dances at Funeral, will be out in the near future. Again, RFLRecords.com for all their great bands. Some of the best bands I've listened to in the last couple of years have come out of RFL. Everybody who listens to this show knows I'm such a fan of all of them, and I want you guys to pay special attention to Danny and his band. Even though he wouldn't give me any good stories, I got to get Peter Cat on the show. Because I'm told Peter's got all the good stories, but
yeah, well,
I'll have to put a request in through the public relations people to get Peter on for some good juicy stories.
Yeah, yeah, he'll dish the third.
Yeah. So, Dan, tell us about your what got you into playing, and you know, give us what are your influences, you know, who are the bass players that you grew up listening to? You know, you're in our wheelhouse. I want to see if you and Jeff have a couple of people that you like together.
Right. Well, listen, for me, it started with AC/DC, Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. When I heard that, that's what I wanted to do. And as far as bass players, I mean, that's a good benchmark for me. I'm not into the whole Geddy Lee type bass playing. I'm more into, you know, songs, for lack of a better term. Not saying Rush don't write great songs, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, but it's a little different.
You just lost half of Canada from your listening audience. Yeah, they've all canceled you on Facebook now.
I'm not very, more about, you know, laying down the groove and the bottom end with Steve. And, you know, there's our rhythm guitar player, KK, also a huge AC/DC fan. So in the background of Playhouse, there's a bit of that influence in there. Definitely a big Nikki Sixx fan as well. Not so much as a bass player, but the fact he was a band leader, a songwriter, as well as a bass player. And then I guess the other one would definitely be Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy. Probably number one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff, interesting array of bass players that we just brought up. Jeff's more into the Jeff, who would be your influences? I obviously Steve Harris. I mean, that was one of your early ones.
Steve Harris, Geezer, Rex Brown, Dee Dee Verney. You know, pretty much the same vein. It's kind of like a little bit of an offshoot of what we each liked and didn't like, you know, with you go slightly one way or the other, really, you know. That's about when we started playing, getting into the Back in Black album with AC/DC. That was in the early 80s, 1980, I believe. And, you know, we all started getting interested in that. And it's just little variations, little cutoffs here and there where everybody went, you know. Phil Lynott's a great bass player, man. Just can't take anything away from him.
Nope.
No.
Okay, guys, and again, Danny Williams is here with us, Playhouse. Again, singles dropping tomorrow, and Saturday night they kick off the Too Old to Die Young tour in Montreal. Tell us a little bit about the tour. Where are you guys going to be? Who are you playing with, and why Too Old to Die Young? Do I got to get the singer on for that explanation too?
It's been 35 years, right? So we are too old to die young at this
point. That's probably pretty much true.
And it's one of the tracks on the album. It just sounded good for a tour name.
Okay.
And that was it. We went with that. Great title, great song. Can't wait for people to hear that one as well. The single drops tomorrow. The tour starts. It's a bit of a warm-up show before the actual tour.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be playing a lot in Quebec, Ontario, and we're in the process of negotiating some other dates a little further out.
And Danny wants to apologize to all the Canadian people for his slight of rush, since they're playing at least 9 shows in Canada. He'd like to start off by apologizing for desecrating poor Geddy Lee and the band Rush. Don't take offense. Please go to the show.
I love Geddy. I saw Rush probably 2006 or something. I was maybe like fourth row. My jaw dropped, right? He's such a phenomenal bass player. Mm. And great band. At the end of the day, when I'm playing, tour starts, it's a bit of a warm-up.
Sorry about that. That was a little technical glitch right there. That's one of my disappointments. I never got to see Rush play. I was always now next tour, and I love a lot of Rush songs. That probably, you know, in the third, you know, if I had to pick three bands that were my favorite bands, it'd be Maiden and Kiss, and then Rush, and I never got to see them play. So you got to see those guys, three of the most talented musicians I've ever seen on one stage, do their thing. So good for you. Now you guys are going to be running around up there. It's a lot of good stuff. I mean, obviously, being on RFL record labels is the first thing. How did you guys get hooked up with John and Doug and that crowd?
Well, we were shopping the record, and we got referred to, we were reaching out to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And, they heard the record. Then we went back and forth for a few months. They had some things they were working on, and then finally it came together. And we're very happy. Things are, you know, moving up, and they're a great team, great people. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. And it must be nice to get out there and tour after the last couple of years of being everybody locked down, can't go here, can't go there. It must be nice to be able to get out on the road and stretch the legs a little bit.
Yeah, we can't wait to play. We can't wait till Saturday night. It's been a long time, definitely. We're kind of fed up at that rehearsal room now, you know?
Yeah, did it better in the beginning? Did you feel like it benefited a little bit by kind of making you guys maybe work on new music or hone in on some of the stuff you were maybe putting off while you were running around on the road? But after a while, it had to get to be to the point where you're saying, screw this, you're playing in the backyard to a couple of cans of beer bottles. We got to get outside and play.
Yes. Yeah, definitely during COVID, to a certain extent, it helped. It also forced us to record this album and work on it in a way that was different, right? Compared to without COVID.
All right. Well, what was it? What's the difference between the two? Like a normal Playhouse recording and then a COVID version. What was the difference? Not, you know, recording it separate and sending each other guys tracks in the mail?
Yeah, there was more of that, and also the pre-production was like that more so than going to rehearsals and, you know, the five of us in a room. So the tracks were more built in the studio,
mm-hmm.
And as far as arrangements, which actually I think that's a benefit. It's easier to change arrangements. You can copy-paste and just kind of see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
And different things like that. So there was a little bit of an adjustment. I don't know if we'll work that way again when we do the next record. We'll see, one step at a time. Right now we're focusing on, you know, getting the songs ready. Well, now they're ready, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be playing about half the album on Saturday night with some tracks off of the Rock and Roll Circuit. And as the summer progresses and the release of the album, we get closer to it, we're going to be playing more and more tracks from that album.
Now Doug's asking what the scene in Montreal is like, and I'm interested in that as well. But, you know, so you start off, why Canada, was Canada picked for a special reason, or that's just where it fell, you know, for a first opening round?
Well, this is where we're based, right? We're from Montreal.
Right.
So it's just easy to start out from here and
mm-hmm.
spread our wings.
Okay.
West.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Now, are you guys able to travel to the States and do a tour at this point? Like, how does that work now? Some of the COVID restrictions are still standing.
Well, at the moment, yes. We'd be able to. I mean, there's this sixth wave that everybody's talking about, so we'll see what happens. It's still still a pretty volatile situation, I guess. Or it's starting to become again, you know, after a few months of relative positivity.
Okay. Well,
yeah, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know. Should they go with the war? Should they go with COVID? They don't know what to do. They don't want us to forget about COVID.
You know,
World War III is brewing, but we can't forget about COVID. That's promised them time first on the fucking TV.
Jeff, they did come, you know, COVID's taking a back seat to Cracker Jills now. We got Cracker Jills. We can't have Cracker Jacks anymore. We have to have Cracker Jills. So we'll have to have something else to fixate on. And once we go back to Cracker Jacks, COVID can come back. It'll be like the next round of COVID that keep us locked up in our houses. So,
or there'll be another award show and somebody will slap somebody.
That's
that was short-lived. That was like a commercial. It didn't even fucking count.
Yeah, so true. With Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom talking to our good buddy Danny Williams from Playhouse, the bass player, and those guys are getting out on the road this weekend into Montreal, and they're going to be doing that thing all over Canada. So make sure you guys check them out. Yeah, and tell us a little bit of a website. I know RFLRecords.com is a hot spot, but what else? Where else can people find you guys?
Well, you can definitely go to our link tree, playhouserocks.com. And, well, not playhouserocks.com, sorry. Linktree, Playhouse Rock.
Okay.
All the links are there. Our website's rockwithplayhouse.com. There's our Facebook, obviously. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and, yeah, we're everywhere.
And hello, Pamela, whoever you are. Thank you for joining us as we talk, as Jeff and I talk with Danny Williams from the good band Playhouse. They got another single dropping tomorrow, Dancing at Funerals.
No, it's The Storm tomorrow.
The Storm's tomorrow? I thought The Storm was already out.
Well, the video was out.
Oh, okay. That's it, Dougie. You know, she completely confuses me. I got to talk to John on these things. Where's Sam when I need her?
Damn. So starting tomorrow,
go ahead.
Stream it everywhere, all major platforms.
Okay. And then we got Dancing at the Funeral is the album coming out.
Yes.
When does that drop?
We're looking at July.
Okay.
So we got another single in May, another third single in June,
mm-hmm.
and then the fourth single will be Dancing at Funerals with the album.
Okay, so we're looking forward to all of that. The big show starting this weekend, and all the big stuff coming up with our Playhouse and RFL Records, and hopefully next time we have Danny, we'll know what his real name is. The cops won't be looking for him anymore. And Doug and I will get on the same page with all the information so that way I can get it all right and do this the right way for him. So,
And we'll make sure to get Pete on so you can get a little more dirt.
Yeah, we need a little dirt. I mean, you know, Dave, you're going to come on. You're a rock and roll guy. You're out on tours. We want a little dirt. I don't want to hear about it. I'm watching Geddy Lee in the sixth row. I want to know who's a jerk off. That's what we want, Jeff. Right?
Well, you ask the bass player. What do you want?
That's true.
I could have told you that.
That's true.
The guy plays bass. Nobody pays attention to him.
Right.
I go through the same shit.
Jeff doesn't even get paid attention to his own house.
As long as you bring your stuff in and help everybody else bring their stuff in, it's all good. Then they allow you to play a few songs. They may even let other people hear you. That's what my band does.
Well, let me tell you something. As a guy who's played next to Jeff in about a dozen shows, maybe a little less, I can guarantee you, you will hear Jeff play every time he plays.
I'll make sure of that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's
you hear
no,
me and you feel me.
Yes. Right. I can tell you, from the guy who played within 5 feet of Jeff, there's no doubt he is playing at that point. So.
That's right. That's the way it should be, right, Jeff?
Hey, listen, I've had people come up to me. I was like, how did it sound? They're like, I didn't hear you, but I felt you in my chest. And I'm like, that's
exactly
what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, that's...
Did you want to throw up? All good.
Yeah.
Listen, we got, let's see. So Playhouse the Storm is dropping, the single drops tomorrow. Dances at Funeral again is July. We got more stuff along the way. We got a tour starting out on Saturday. We got Playhouse. We got Danny Williams. And we had a great time with you, Danny. And we wish you guys much success. I got to tell you, let me ask you a question. So before I forget, you're a sports fan? Okay. Where are you?
Hockey fan.
Hockey fan?
Yeah.
All right. So do you diss the Canadian hockey teams? Because I know you diss the bands, but...
Montreal Canadiens,
man. Okay, so what's your wheelhouse? The 80s? Are you up on the current stuff?
Not current, but I go back to the 80s, yes.
Yeah, hated all those 80s.
You're a Rangers
teams.
Fan. Right?
I am a Rangers fan. Not a great season this year necessarily for your Montreal Canadiens. My Rangers are playing great hockey right now.
My favorite player of all time, though, is not a Montreal Canadian player.
Okay.
It is an ex-New York Ranger. And that's Mark Messier.
Ah, you're right in Jeff's wheelhouse. Jeff's a big Mets fan, and
that's it, right?
We talk about it all the time.
Here.
You know, I'm a huge Messier fan. I love Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is one of my favorite players of all time. To me, he's one of the greats. But if I was starting a hockey team, Mark Messier is the first guy I want.
Absolutely. How many cups did Gretzky win without Messier?
Yeah, it's Doug Frank. Of course, Doug's got to be a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. Of course, he's a Cowboy fan, and of course, he's got to be a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. Oh my God, Sidney Crosby. I like to say something, but I don't get in trouble for it. But Messier. Listen, there's a guy who can knock you down, skate around you, put the puck in the net. You know, play defense. Just Jeff, all around great player.
Yeah. Exactly. Total package.
Yeah. So if you're, there's a lot of guys I like, but and he's not my favorite player of all time. But to me, if I'm, you know, if somebody says, Tom, you can start a hockey team, who's the guy you want? It's Messier. And I'm always
there. When he was on the ice, something was always happening.
Sure.
You know, Gretzky, yeah, he's a scorer, big time scorer, without a doubt. But when Messier was on, there was always something going on. And it could have happened in any second when he was on the ice.
Yeah.
I think he was more of a complete player than Gretzky was.
Yeah, of course.
I agree with that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, but, you know, those Edmonton Oilers teams of that era, I remember the Canadian teams with LaFleur and all those guys and Dryden and great teams, but, you know, those 80s Oilers was just phenomenal. I mean, you can go up and down that roster of Hall of Famers and just great players, so... And to have the top two guys there, Messier and Gretzky, you can't lose with either one. But I'll take Messier any day of the week.
Another great team from that era, obviously the Islanders.
Yes, I listen, much hatred from a Ranger fan for the Island, but yes, of course, with Gillies and Trotsche and Potvin and Billy Smith, Bossy was one of the great snipers of all time.
Yeah,
I mean,
not the greatest,
huh?
If not the greatest.
Yeah, you'd have, most people don't think of him right away, but there's a guy who could put the puck in the net.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, a great dynasty, four in a row, finally dethroned by, I believe it was Edmonton. But a great team. And they've had some good teams the last few years. I'm a big fan of Matt Martin and the way he plays the game. So I know he's on the third or fourth line, but it's been a good team this year, not necessarily. But those 80s Islanders were as good as they get. And a hell of a, you know, you went from the Canadiens with that dynasty to the Islanders, to the Oilers. And then a few years later, we had Detroit. So.
Another great team.
Yeah.
By the way,
huh?
Luckily he's not here because he's an Islanders fan. That's his team.
Who's that?
KK.
Oh, yeah?
So you being, Rangers fan, you guys might have got ugly.
It's been a long time. You know, I tell you the truth, I hate the Flyers more than I hate the Islanders. And I hate the Islanders, but I hate the Flyers more. So I can respect the Islanders fan, especially since they haven't done anything in a long time. It's like being a Jet fan in football. Ain't done nothing in a very long time. So who cares? You got that, Jeff?
Hey, listen, it doesn't really matter. You know why? Because the Giants suck, and that's all you need to know.
As we go along the place, listen, we'll let Danny go. That's Danny.
He's a Cowboys fan.
Yes. You dug Penguins, Cowboys. I mean, you couldn't pick more douchier teams. I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. Doug, he picks great bands and terrible teams.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as he picks great bands.
Exactly. So, Danny, listen, we appreciate you hanging with us for a while. You're welcome back anytime. Tell the boys when you're out there on the road, on a Thursday night, tune over to the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Good.
I promise I bring dirt next time.
There you go. Listen, you're welcome anytime, but if you don't bring dirt, I'm cutting you quick.
All right.
Fair enough.
That's the deal, man.
Listen, you enjoy your tour. Good luck with the albums and the video. We'd love to have you back, and we wish you nothing but the best and much success to you and all the guys, and come on back when you get a chance.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks for the support, guys, and we'll come back anytime.
You got it. That's Danny Williams, and he's with Playhouse. Take a look and find those guys all over social media. The band is great. The music is even better. Danny, have a good one, man. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it.
Have a great show.
You too. So, Jeff, good night, Danny. Good night, Doug. I'm sure we'll lose half our audience right there. Oh, come on. Why you got to ruin the show with that fucking shit? People just tuned up. You just turned – is all of Israel just shut off the show?
You just got to have it on, man.
All of Israel just shut off the show.
I don't really care.
You don't care?
They don't call in. They don't say anything to us.
Oh, my God.
You know, come on.
Jeff, what did you think of the Dolphins trading their wide receiver in the division to the Patriots?
This is the first I'm hearing about.
Oh, yes. The Dolphins traded Devontae Parker to the Patriots for a fifth round pick, I think it is, in this year's draft. For a third round pick in next year's draft. I always find it weird that you would trade a guy in your own division, you know, unless you don't think much of him. Interesting turn of events, so to speak, for that one. Eagles make a trade. Let's talk a little. Let's see. Where do we want to go from here, Jeff? How about these?
You're not used to trades within the division.
No, I very rarely do you see that anymore.
Well, you don't see it because, like in the case of the New York Giants, nobody wants any of your players.
Oh boy.
So nobody in their division is even going to offer anything because they know that the guys they have suck.
Well, you know, we have the draft coming up, Jeff, and we haven't had a chance to talk for a while. So let me ask you, I'm going to give you a couple teams, and I'm going to start with your own team. And let me ask you, Jeff, since we're talking football and we're breaking balls, but the Jets have a lot of picks. You have 4, you have 10, 35, 38, and 69 to start with. A lot of picks early in the draft. What do you think your team's biggest needs are? I got 3, but what do you think your team's biggest needs are?
Oh, God, Tom, where do you start? I don't know how you stopped at 3.
Well, again, you're
generous there.
Well, God.
Wide receiver, tight end, linebacker, safety, cornerback, edge rusher, offensive lineman, wide receiver. You know, where don't they need people? It's unfucking believable the amount of pieces they need. They added some quality pieces, and I don't even think they hit the ground running.
Yeah, I agree. I think though the Jets' biggest need right now, and I know the secondary struggled, and that would be my second thought. I think their offensive line is not a big need anymore. I think, again, depending on Becton, is Becton going to come back and play at all? And if he does, you know, do they keep George Font on the left and move him to the right side? I think is a question mark. But I think their biggest need is edge rusher. Now, a lot of people say that. And at four, you should get somebody really good. Would that be your first move there? Would it be edge rusher? Or do you feel like you would go and strengthen the defensive backfield?
You know what? You'd have to sit and look and see what the players available are. And they use the phrase best player available. Well, I would maybe go and think of the best player available at what positions,
mm-hmm.
being edge rusher and cornerback. This kid, Sauce Gardner, is supposed to be really good. If
yep.
he's available, he may be the one to take. The edge rushers, there's a couple edge rushers.
Yes.
But that kid, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thibodeau.
I see a lot of bad things about him as we're getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they take a chance on him? At least you would hope. There's a safety out in Notre Dame.
Yes, Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton. Yes, yeah.
They keep drafting safeties high up and fucking getting rid of them. So Calvin Pryor, Jamal Adams, Marcus May. So, I mean, it's just another one in the long list of guys that are going to be gone soon anyway. They're not going to sign a second contract. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, again, I like Hamilton. I just don't know if it's too high to take a safety at four, maybe at 10. I even think that might be a little bit, you know, safety is not the impact position that I'm going to spend a top 10 draft choice on, you know.
I understand you, but you know what? If your guy is there,
mm-hmm.
you got to do what you got to
do.
No,
of course.
To be honest with you, if I was the Jets, I'd be calling up fucking Seattle, and I'd give them Mac their pick.
Yeah.
And one of their number twos and try to get DK Metcalf.
Well, you know, that's been talked about this week a lot. I've heard that everywhere. And, You know, I think that's the one position, if you're the Jets, that you probably need to help yourself with. And this draft is kind of deep in with receivers, but the impact guy, you know, to get either Lockett or Metcalf would be huge.
Metcalf is who I would want, man.
But he's still a little unrefined. And, you know, Jeff, you know, the problem with Metcalf is, and again, this is no knock with Zach Wilson, but he might not be the guy who brings out the best of DK Metcalf.
No, but Metcalf may be the guy to bring out the best of fucking Wilson.
Okay, interesting. That's an interesting thought process. Okay.
And you have other decent receivers, so it's not like you don't have anybody.
Yeah.
You got a couple good ones there that, you know, you could, this guy would be the icing on the cake. You know, you have a decent running back. You have a couple decent wide receivers. If you could get this guy, when watching him play is exciting. Watching Seattle play
mm-hmm.
with Metcalf is exciting. So I would want to try to grab him if I could.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kayvon Thibodeau might be a guy that you'll see in a Jet uniform. I think, I believe Aiden Hutchinson's going to go early to Michigan. From Michigan is going to go early.
Did he get hurt, that kid?
He's not hurt now. No, I think you're thinking of the other kid, the kid Walker, I think got hurt now, if I'm not mistaken.
The receiver.
No. There's a defensive lineman, I believe, who got hurt. But, you know, I think the Jets, like I said, I think they're going to go edge rusher with the first pick. And then I think if they could, they would go for a Sauce Gardner or, Stingley, is the other big defensive back, but he was hurt most of the year. His pro day, I think they said he played well. I did not watch his pro day. I don't like watching pro days. It's a bunch of guys who are in good shape running around in shorts and T-shirts pretending that they're playing football. So I don't like pro days. It's like watching a combine sometimes. But I did, you know, the Jets have an opportunity. There are eight teams. I said last night when we were talking, there was five. There's eight teams out there with two picks in the thing. And another one is my beloved New York Football Giants, who have the 5-7, 36, 67th, and 81st pick in the draft to start. And Jeff, the Giants have a need, a tackle. There's some suggestions. I know they can go for either tackle, Neal from Alabama, or Akeem Ekwonu, from another tackle from North Carolina State. They can go. It depends who falls to them. I've also heard the Giants are possibly contemplating a trade at that spot.
Well, listen, the Giants, I don't know if they have enough money and enough cap space to be contemplating trades.
Mm-hmm.
So they may maybe picks for stockpile and picks for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an okay thing to do, but is the fan base going to like that?
It's a good question. I don't know. You know, that might be something that they might wind up doing, either trading down and grabbing picks for next year or just trading out of that spot. Because you're right, you know, now – 4 years from now, you know, you're going to be having two guys who have to get paid that kind of money for when they're coming off their rookie contract. So you have to be careful of that. Giants,
and not for nothing. Yep. Maybe stockpiling picks may be the way to go for them, because once Danny Jones's career crashes and burns this year,
boy, here we go.
And it burns into ashes, they're going to need to find realizing and realize that they made a mistake with the quarterback.
Let me know when you're done.
Another one of my prophecies will come true. That's why I have the name of the Pope underneath me.
Let me know when you're done. I'll stand over here to the side. Let me know when you're done.
Just bringing it out, letting you know when to be known. That's all.
All right, let's do a couple more. Let's do a couple more team needs in the draft. We got a lot of stuff to get tonight, Jeff and I. So much to get to. So much to talk about. I think the first interesting pick of the night, Jeff, is the Detroit Tigers. Okay, Detroit Lions.
I'd be interested in what the Detroit Tigers are going to pick, too.
Yeah, me too. But the Detroit Lions, Jeff, they have needs at edge rusher, quarterback, defensive back, wide receiver. See, the interesting part of the quarterback thing is they actually have a pro quarterback in Jared Goff. Now, I don't think if the guy's going to win you a Super Bowl, but he can take you there. He's obviously done it. Do you gamble on the second round, in the second pick of the draft, with one of the quarterbacks in this draft, or this is a team that needs an edge rusher, needs a defensive back, needs a wide receiver, you know, but there are a couple of quarterbacks that people seem to like, Malik Willis, Pickett, you know, there's a couple of guys. Do they take the shot at a quarterback, or do they build around Jared Goff?
I keep seeing quarterbacks' names being mentioned, but not one specific quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's looking at these quarterbacks in a different light.
Yeah.
Picking their names out and, you know, saying this is the one, this is the guy, this is the one I would take, this is the one you need to build around. Now all of a sudden the quarterback names are getting hot because we're like 2 weeks away.
Yep.
Personally, I don't think that any of them really do much for me, because we would have heard about them a lot sooner and we would have heard good stuff about them a lot sooner.
Sure.
Now you're talking that, you know, they're the 10th best player in the draft, and so I don't know. I don't think that they're the ones to not for this year. I would rather have Jared Goff. The guy already was been in the Super Bowl.
I agree with that. Yeah, I kind of agree with that, Jeff. I would be building around Goff for the temporary future, and then worry about making your picks for a quarterback maybe next year's draft. So I would grab the best player available at that point. Another team, Jeff, is the Carolina Panthers, who have the sixth pick in the draft. They haven't needed a quarterback, but, you know, do they try to solve that quarterback problem this year? Or do they hunker down and shore up Sam Darnold, who's going to be their quarterback this year, and draft one of the three or four offensive linemen in the draft? You know, where do you see it go? Do you think they reach for a quarterback at that spot to try to replace Sam Darnold?
I wouldn't.
Same reason.
Might as well just go with Sam Darnold at this point in time, because you're not going to get nothing else. Who's going to take him? You're stuck paying him $18 million.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't attempt to get him, somebody else. You might as well deal with him. And if next year's class is a little bit better, you go with next year's class.
And next year's class is a bit better. It's not, again, it's hard to say anybody's that much better at this point, but, you know, it's better than this year's. Again, there's some decent quarterbacks in this draft. I think Matt Corral's not a bad player. I think he can, you know, a couple of years on the bench somewhere, Matt can be a player. Kenny Pickett, I watched only a couple times this year, and I've only seen highlights of Malik Willis. So, again, I don't see anybody here who's a top 10 quarterback, and I think you're going to be late, much later in the round before you make a pick at this point.
I mean, listen, you don't hear anybody saying that this one could be the guy, this one could end up being worth the pick, and nobody's saying much about these guys.
Right. No.
You didn't link anybody to them.
No, it's been very quiet, Jeff. Honestly and truly, it has been very quiet in the quarterback. And that, you know, you brought up last night, we were having a little bit of a meeting, and you brought it up that there's no buzz around this draft. Like, you felt like this has been that, you know, first time in a while where it's not been can't wait and this is the play.
Everybody's making excuses for who looks like it's going number one.
I think there's a bunch of guys who could go number one. It all depends on.
Well, it depends on who you like. Because there seems to be no overall consensus number one pick.
No, there's not. I would agree with that. Jacksonville, they can use an offensive tackle. They can use an edge rusher. They could go Aiden Hutchinson. They can go Kayvon Thibodeau. They can go the kid, the tackle from North Carolina, or Evan Neal from Alabama. They can go with they can go Sauce Gardner and grab another corner. There's a million ways they could go at this point. So you're right. But I think that's the intrigue, is that this draft could go a million ways. You know, the last few years, Jeff, you knew who the number one pick was going to be, right? You knew where the quarterbacks were going to go.
Definitely. I don't see that this year.
No, I think that's...
with John Rod, that Pittsburgh will trade up to get
Pickett.
No, man, you got Trubisky. That's your boy now.
I tell you the truth, I heard two mock drafts today driving around, and both of them had Willis going to the Steelers at 20. And I got to be honest with you, I think that's a huge... here's the funniest one I heard. The Steelers would draft Willis at 20 and then use Dwayne Haskins as trade bait. I said, who's trading for Dwayne Haskins? I said, I think we're out of our minds. But I don't see Willis going to the Steelers. I don't think that's his type of quarterback. I think it's Pickett. I think John's right. I don't know if he's going to have to trade up to get him, though, Jeff. That's the question.
We will find out soon enough, man.
Yes, and we will find out right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Network, but we'll be doing the show with our good buddy John Marhafka and Jeff and I on the Sunday Audible show, which we will debut that night for the draft. There's a lot of great stuff coming up from us. We got some announcements to make, but we'll wait. We'll be on Saturday, maybe the sanitation pump.
That's not right, man.
Trade them to the Washington Communists, that's what I say. Hopefully you guys will be on with us April the 23rd. The Sunday Audible show will return for a special free agent draft preview show. And then that Thursday night, instead of the usual Hard Rock and Sports draft show, we'll be on the Sunday Audible. Jeff, John, and myself, maybe our good friend Rafael Esparza will join us. I don't know. Hopefully, guys like Matt Salici will get a few people on, and we'll talk a lot of draft show right here. We'll cover as much of the first round as we can keep Jeff awake for, and we'll have some fun right here at Sunday Audible. So stick around for that. But in the meantime, we still got plenty of show right. We got a little bit more show right here. We're going to end the show a little early tonight. Jeff's a little under the weather, and I have to tend to my wife.
3:30 this morning, I got up.
Oh well, we'll end it early tonight. I want to go check in on my wife, make sure she's okay tonight. Jeff, your boy Kaepernick was spotted again. Did you see Kaepernick was popped up?
Yeah, well, what's going on? Nobody offered him anything yet, right?
No, but he feels the doors are opening again. He went to Michigan. His old coach from the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, is the head coach there. And they have their spring game. You know, teams have their spring games. They have the Amazing Gold game. And Amazing Gold is amazing. Blue and Gold. Blue and Gold, I think it is. They have their game, every year, and he was allowed to throw some passes, Colin Kaepernick, and kind of showcase his skills. And at 34 years old and 5 or 6 years out of the league, he still says he's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And meanwhile, I don't necessarily disagree. There's some bad quarterbacks in this league, Jeff.
But I don't think any of them are starting. I mean, not for nothing. Maybe he's better. Maybe he's better than Sam Darnold. Maybe.
But if I had to start Mike Glennon again, or maybe Cam Newton is in, you know, I still don't think that this guy's better. First of all, he wasn't very good when he left the league, hasn't played in 5 years. You know, I'm not buying into this that the doors are opening for him all over the league.
No, I don't see it.
And then who wants to hassle, Jeff? Who wants to take that guy to his fan base and say, we're putting him in our locker room?
I don't think anybody does. If they did, I think they would have made a bowl.
Yeah, and I think it would have happened already, Jeff, with the need for quarterbacks in this league. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl is looking for a job and he can't get one tells you a lot.
Well, is he actually looking for a job, Tom, or is he
That's a great question, Jeff, and that's the question of the day. You know, is this a publicity stunt? Is this a publicity stunt like a couple years ago when he was going to have that big tryout and then he took off to someplace else with the camera crew? So, yeah, Jeff, you know what? I think he's been fading into the sunset a little bit, and this was kind of a way to, here I am. I'm still here. Don't worry. Don't forget about me. I want to go sign another Nike contract.
Problems.
Yeah. I want another Nike contract, and I want to make sure everybody knows I'm still here. So I'm not buying into it. I wish he would go away. It just never seems to end.
Totally agree.
Hey, let's switch gears a little bit before we close this up, Jeff. And I read an interesting article today where Michael Schenker, you know, there's a lot of times like, you know, a lot of the bands in the 80s, they, you know, everybody copied themselves. You know, everybody used to wear jeans and all of a sudden they were wearing tight leather pants or whatever they call it. What were they called?
Spandex.
Michael Schenker, who I think is a little off the center anyway, said that K.K. Downing stole his look back in the 70s and 80s. Now,
what was the look?
I don't know. So I'm asking you. You were a big fan of Judas Priest.
I always thought that he just wore regular dungarees and the leather coat.
I know they both played a form of the V guitar, but I don't think it was the same guitar, right? I mean, I think Michael Schenker was more of a Gibson V, right?
Yeah, KK in the very beginning was playing a Gibson, and then I think he went to a Hamer V.
Yeah, so I didn't understand it. I said, you know, I'm not the biggest Schenker fan. I mean, the guy's incredibly talented. He had some good albums, no doubt. But I never looked at Michael Schenker and said, boy, that guy happens to look like KK Downing. I just didn't see it.
He never really looked like KK.
But he made this whole article about that. His identity, his persona was stolen and copied by KK Downing.
He looks like KK Crackhead. That's what he looks like.
I thought that was an interesting one today. And speaking of Judas Priest, Jeff, do you know that they canceled one of their shows, I think it was last night or the night before?
I had heard something. Somebody was sick, but it was COVID-related.
The metal god got a cold and he closed the show. I thought that was kind of a, I don't know, like a sign of, wow, they're really getting old. I mean, KK, the Rob Halford, the metal god, shut a show down because he had a cold. Right. I thought that was interesting.
He's about 70 years old. If he's not 70, a minor cold could force him that he can't even sing. Who the fuck knows?
Very
sore
true.
Sore throat, you might not be able to sing.
Yeah, that's very true.
I have a minor cold now. I want to go to sleep till Tuesday. And not have anybody bother me.
You don't want to get up on stage and sing and do
it. No. You know what my biggest fear, why I haven't laid down yet?
Why?
Because my nose will get plugged up and I won't be able to breathe. I'm trying to figure out a way where I can sleep in the house sitting up.
Hey, Jeff, speaking of ridiculous statements, did you see that your boy Sam Donald said that he's a really good quarterback and he's already proven that? Did you ever catch that? I don't know. I'm just asking you. You're a Jet fan.
He's not a Jet quarterback no more.
Well, he was a Jet quarterback when he was a Jet quarterback. Did he prove that he was?
Geno Smith was a Giant quarterback too.
For 5 minutes, we didn't draft him.
It doesn't matter. He was on the Giants. He did something no other quarterback in the NFL.
Here we go.
He single-handedly stopped the streak.
Oh boy, here we go.
Remember that.
He's living in the past, my friend. He's living in the past.
He's living in the past.
Oh my God.
What did Geno Smith do? Why is Geno Smith famous? Because he pouted in the green room and he stopped the streak.
He's never going to let that go, are you?
Never.
Let's see. I got a couple more things. Did you see that there's actually 40 women who have come forward on Deshaun Watson? So
no,
there's 22 women who filed the lawsuit or criminal charges, and there are 18 more women who've said that they had, I think they said they had consensual sex with him during or after a massage. And, you know, but there are a total of 40 women who've come forward. I mean, dude, how many massages can you get?
he's young and young and ready to go. He's not like us. You know, we get a massage on Monday. We ain't good again till fucking August. You know, in his age and his condition, a pro athlete, he could maybe get a massage between breakfast and lunch and then be ready to go again for, you know, right before lunch and then right after lunch and then through dinner.
Let me ask you this question, though, Jeff. Let's say, and you wouldn't do this, you're a happily married man, but let's say you were into calling girls on eBay or on Craigslist.
eBay, That's where they all are, they're buying out on eBay.
Let's say you call a girl on Craigslist and you're going to get a massage, and you got one who would willing to come over, massage you, go the extra mile. Would you say, you know what, I got one, let me ride this one out for a while, because let's not take any chances out there that we get some that might want to sue me or have me arrested later. I mean, would you be dialing 40 different people to come to your house? And those are only the 40 that came around and said something.
First of all, if I was Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
I would take the stand and I'd be, Your Honor, I would just like to correct that number. It's more like 140-something.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. The rest, they'll be here. Don't worry about it. They'll be here to complain. First of all, what are they complaining about if they had consensual sex?
They're not. I guess they got these women to come through to basically say, hey, he never forced us to do anything. It was consensual. You know, it's all good. I think that was the gist of that.
So, who I'd like to hear from
is
Deshaun Watson's girlfriend.
Well, I like to hear from Deshaun Watson, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, Deshaun Watson, too, but I want to know how come Deshaun Watson has a girlfriend that hasn't said anything, broken up with him publicly, whatever, after all these allegations are coming out, and she hasn't tried to kill him yet. Somebody is getting hush money.
Yeah, but think about, he just signed a $230 million fully guaranteed contract. She may be counting the do-re-mi right now.
Listen, I can only go by my climate here at home. I think I'd have to sign a couple of those contracts for any of this shit to fly.
And you'd have to sleep in protective custody.
Yeah, I'd have to have a guard. Yeah. You know, and sleep in a different area of the house on lockdown. Yeah. If anything like
you'd have to sleep with your bank book sitting next to you, opened up.
Yeah, right on my chest.
Yeah, we're not going.
It just wouldn't fly.
I get it. But, you know, I've said to myself, I was driving this one, I heard it was 40 women. I went, if it's 40, what's the real number? The real number's got to be over 100.
140.
Yeah. It's, you know, if 40 came out and said, okay, it happened, where's the rest of them who said, I'm not getting involved in this. I'm not dragging myself. Or the ones that didn't hear, or the crackheads who've died since it happened. You know, how many, what is the real number? And I got to ask the question, does Deshaun Watson do anything else besides getting massages? Because
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because you got to figure some of them repeats. You got to think at least a few of them had second and third visits. You can't think that they're all one and done, right?
Dude, when you have that kind of money and nothing else to do, I guess you could pretty much, you know, like you're my fucking guy. Like, Tom, today I feel like having a redhead. Got me a redheaded fucking massage.
And do you think while he was sitting around last year not playing, do you think he got a massage?
Like, I think he got a massage last week. I think he got a massage. I think he got one today. Today's Thursday?
Yeah.
Bring one up. I'll be on the table for 7. You know?
Yeah, I tell you, you gotta love guys. I gotta tell you, I don't know.
He lives a lifestyle that nobody that's listening to the show, nobody that's on this show right now, nobody knows anything about, because he has an unimaginable amount of money, and he could pretty much go out and buy whatever he wants when he wants it. So you know, he tells his assistant, "I want a blonde by lunchtime." There's one there.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it. Because all they got to do is put a price tag. Listen, you know who Deshaun Watson is? No, he has a lot of money. He's a football player. Okay, I think I've heard of him now. Well, come with me. You got to give him a massage. They may have to fuck him, but you walk away with some money. Really? Because I'm driving this 2003 Mazda over here. I don't worry about that. You know, you'll be taken care of. You'll be good. And I mean, what else could it be? He's got money to do this stuff.
Yeah, no, I listen, hard to argue. Like I said, I just was wondering if, you know, if he started out with 22 and then there's another 18 women floating around out there who really don't have a problem with it, you know, what's the real, I would love to know what the real number. If his penis could talk, I'd like to hear the story.
Oh, how many of them were ugly?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you know you got a couple. You know a couple of massage, the masseuse showed up at the door, and he went, I got to think about this one. And he said, all right, what the
late.
Hell?
I understand it's late. Come on. Just shut the light on your way in.
Can you use a flashlight on the top of your head to keep see for yourself? Cause, hold on, I got one of those. Hold on.
Shining in my eyes.
Hold on.
Yeah, there you go. Why do you have that?
That's where I wear it for work. It should work.
You wear one of those for work?
Yeah, sometimes you go to the basement, you can't use your hands.
You should wear that during the show.
Excuse me, Deshaun, can you lay down? I want it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like a 2-liter Coke bottle. I need both hands.
Yeah, I had this for work, man. You get lost in a tunnel, man. You want to have your hands free. We're not on your heart at.
Fend off the rats?
Fend off the rats, my friend. Fend off the rats.
You ever had a rat land on you?
No, but I'll tell you a quick funny story. I was working for an old company. Like, this is a long time. It was maybe 25 years ago. And we were gutting out our office in the back. We were going to make a new section of the office out of this old spot. And we're pulling ceilings down, me and a couple other guys. And one of the guys pulls the ceiling, and a rat falls on his head. I mean, I'm standing 2 feet from him, and it looked like a Flintstones episode. The rat was doing this on top of his head, trying to get momentum, and it took off his head. And it looked like he was wearing this fuzzy rug on his head for about 10 seconds. It was literally felt like it was a minute long, but it was probably 3 seconds. And but no, I've had rats run across my feet. I've had them, you know, all over the place, but I've never had one not land on me. That has never happened.
Oh, man. I had one. I opened up a truck door one time,
mm-hmm.
and it came jumping out.
Oh, really?
He didn't come anywhere near me, but I opened up the door, and all of a sudden, I was this way, he went that way, and I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. We have on the job I just finished, one day we were pulling these concrete blankets. They're just plastic blankets. You throw them over the concrete, and they're insulated, and out pops a possum. Just that'll freak you out when you see this thing. It's about this big, come barreling out at you, pulling out because it was sleeping inside the blankets.
When I sold my house and I rented the apartment for a couple of years with my wife.
Okay.
I was out on the deck at night and I see something walking around. So there used to be raccoons and possums and cats in the backyard. Every night was a different animal. And I was like, man, this is like fucking jungle habitat out here. But one of the things out in the backyard was a cat carrier. So I see something in the cat carrier, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And I mean, I used to see cats and possums sitting in the backyard, literally less than a foot away from each mm-hmm. other, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that possums and cats will hang out with each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they will not necessarily fight each other. Now, raccoons and cats, another story.
Really?
So, here we go. We got the possums. So I see something move in the cat box.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't tell what it was. So I was like, well, I'm not going down there to see what it is. So I'm going to get a cup of water
mm-hmm.
and throw a cup of water at the box to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it was a cat, but the thing was facing inward. So in order for this thing to get out, it had to turn around.
Oh, really?
And shoot out. And I took the water, and it was about 25, 30 feet, I guess, the travel distance of the water from up on the deck,
uh-huh.
out, and then down. And I got a direct hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and a majority of the cup of water hit the cat carrier, and this thing fucking turned around. Dude, it was something like, you want to talk about out of a cartoon? It was the funniest thing I ever seen. I don't know how this cat or animal... even turned around in this thing and shot out in point like 3 seconds. It was fucking great. It was great. I was like, well, that answers that question. It was a cat.
I'll tell you one last funny one before we close it up. Yesterday, I come home from work, and where I eat my dinner at the dining room table, I can look through my Florida room outside, and I see a couple of rabbits hanging around outside. So I said, oh, there's a couple of rabbits outside the door. I said, I want to, you know, Lucas would chase them. So I opened my door so he can go in the room. He can't get out to them. I would never let him chase anything. But he, I go into the room and I look, and all of a sudden a squirrel comes flying off the tree and chases one of the rabbits. I mean, he's chasing. They run to the bushes. Now I'm thinking that he's hunting it. Maybe he's trying to kill the rabbit. I'm like, what the fuck? A second and a half later, the rabbit's about 15 feet away from him. They both stop, and now the rabbit's chasing the squirrel. So I think they were just playing. Like, I don't even think they were hunting each other. I think they were just literally playing. They were getting within inches of each other, stop. The other one would start chasing. I'm like, look at this. Rabbits and squirrels can get together, but the rest of us can't get along.
Well, you rabbits and squirrels have the brain the size of a fucking walnut, you know, if they're lucky. And you're talking about people that have the brain of a walnut, too, and they're put in important positions. See the difference?
Yeah, I think you're right, so. But what the hell? Listen, man, we just try to get through a little bit of a show tonight. Jeff's a little tired. I'm a little tired. I got a lot of things to do. We're going to end it right here and let Jeff get some sleep. We'll be back full strength next Thursday night to do this all over again. And, of course, don't forget on Saturday the 23rd, the Sunday Audible will return for a special show right before the draft. And then, of course, draft night right here, the Sunday Audible. Jeff, John, and myself, come on and hang out. We'll have some special guests, I hope. And we'll watch the draft and hang out together. So lots to do, lots to talk about. Jeff, I'll give you the final word before I do the thank yous. Anything you want to end the show with?
I hope I feel better soon.
Yeah.
I ain't getting sick.
Yeah.
I have not been sick since I had COVID.
Well,
over 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that went quick. That was, you barely felt it then, right?
What's that?
You barely felt the COVID at the time.
Yeah, I even though I had it. I'm sicker now than I was when I had COVID.
Well, let's hope for the best. Hopefully you'll feel better tomorrow. But so in the meantime, I want to thank Danny Williams, the bass player from Playhouse, for joining Jeff and I on the show tonight. Thanks to Sam Bone, Doug Franklin, and everybody down at RFO Records for setting all that up. Thanks to everybody who checked in tonight. So a lot of people, Matt and Frankie Catalano, all the people who are Pete the Cat, so many people, a lot of new faces out there. Thanks for all stopping by. Make sure you guys come on back and check on us each week. So thanks to everybody who paid attention to us. I'm trying to think of anybody. Nope, that's it. So we'll end it right here. I hope you guys have a great night and a really good weekend. Enjoy your baseball. If you're a Met fan, the Mets are on the mound, bottom of the first inning in Washington. So season's officially started here in New York. And get ready for the Yankees, 1 o'clock tomorrow. In the meantime, guys, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your week. Stay warm, stay dry. And, of course, don't be sick like Jeff. Hefe, feel better, brother. I will definitely talk to you. I'll talk to you up there. Go get some sleep. And everybody have a great, great night, a great weekend.
I'll see you later, man.
You got it, pal. Feel better.
Later. Thanks.
Later.